There's something about spring that just feels like a reset. Longer days, fresh energy, and the motivation to try something new. This spring, that something new could be learning a new language. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. They've been a leader in language learning for over 30 years with an immersive method that helps you learn naturally, connecting words, visuals, and meaning in context instead of memorizing or translating. With over 25 languages to choose from, like Spanish, French, German, even Japanese, Rosetta Stone is a go-to tool for real language learning. It's designed to help you think in your new language so what you learn actually sticks. Plus, True Accent gives real-time feedback on your pronunciation so you sound more natural, like having a personal coach. And you can learn anytime, anywhere, whether you've got 5 minutes or a full hour. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/today now and begin your language learning journey.
Hello, and welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. A special welcome, as always, those of you that are listening for the very first time. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. Today, we're going to share part two of the discussion that I had with Lou Susie and Astrid Chow. This week, we're going to be talking about specifically UX education. We're going to share a few hot takes about that topic, and then we'll wrap up. Going to be brief today, but we've got a little treat for you at the end, especially for those of you on video. All right, let's go ahead and dive in, shall we? The next topic, and to introduce this particular topic, I want to bring up the fact that, okay, folks know that I'm a professor at several universities, about to start teaching at another one, actually, in the not too distant future. Lou and I are both professors at Brandeis University, and Lou teaches at one or two other universities, at least one or two others. Beyond that, Astrid has been an educator in the past and has a lot of passion associated with UX education. And so this is a topic we want to dive into. So let's just go ahead and let's just dive in. Anything related to UX education, what is on you folks' mind on this topic? And Astrid kicked off the last one. So you, Lou, it is on you. Take it away, Lou. What do you
okay?
So your initial thought about UX education today?
It's weird. I maybe a couple of years ago I got to head up co-moderate a panel on design education, but I tried to represent different aspects of what's out there. Mm-hmm. I did that like it was religious, but so I had people from university, people from boot camp, people from, and I could only get really two variations on a theme. And I have to say, I was a little nervous that the person I brought in from the boot camp was going to be clobbered by a certain individual who seemed to be ready to scheme and just jump on them for being in a boot camp. And what I found out, though, at that conference was, you know, and maybe you'll be surprised to hear this, but it really depends, I think, on the instructor, on the professor, because this person on the panel probably didn't realize what danger he was in amongst the panelists, but he said, hey, I want everyone from, and I won't name the boot camp, you know, to stand up right now, everyone from that came up under my wing, basically, and about like 10 or more people stood up. And that was all he needed to do, and had them sit down and talked about his experience as an instructor in those programs. But then it was at the drinking hour towards the end of the day that people were coming up to him and had such love and grace and gratefulness for what he gave them that I thought, you know, maybe I don't understand what might be coming out of it. What I do know, though, and we talked a little bit about this, is that in teaching at a couple of recent places, I've noticed that the curriculum I was given, and not that I had to go with, but just within the time frame that I was given to run with, did seem to be teaching people how to create a portfolio and a portfolio piece, or what you would call a case study now, as opposed to learning the actual design fundamentals, you know, the foundations, which is good and bad. But I think what's bad about it is to just put out a portfolio piece or a case study alone doesn't give you any advantage in a interview. And it also doesn't give you any advantage for when you're working at an actual corporation doing real design work.
Yeah.
So I try and make sure that students that I have, no matter where I'm at, I give them a little bit of reality here and there and try and say, this is fantastic. I mean, what you came up with was beautiful and it fits what you're doing, but I want to let you know about how this would work out at company X, you know, and you would have to get through about three or four other departments and or review cycles. And, you know, I don't try and make it difficult for them, but I do try and give them a flavor of what the real world will be like. And, or I realize that there's probably more than one way to go about design education the right way. Anyhow, I'll leave it at that for now.
All right, Astrid.
So, having been through different types of design education, more like my fine arts background being much more traditional, and then going through Bentley's program, I think the thing that I take issue with some of the boot camps is I just feel like they're predatory in how they're setting expectations for people. And it's tricky on so many levels. It's not fair to the students. It's not fair to the industry. And that's really, I think, the issue that I see. Because, you know, I think we've all heard stories about certain, I don't know, corporations who will get a, you know, stack, a virtual stack of applicants, and they'll see certain names of boot camps and they won't even look at that resume, which I think is also a disservice, right? But I think, yeah, it's just, it's done a number on all of the progress I think that we have made with educating higher ups about the value of design. When you start to say, for just, you know, $1,700, you will become a product designer in 8 weeks. Like, that's just not helping anyone, right? That's, maybe it's temporarily helping like someone, but it's not helping the overall like industry. And that's the thing that I see as being an issue. And also just, I've talked to so many people that have gone through some of those programs and they come out of it and they can't find a job and you don't know what to say to them because, well, the industry is hard. It's also, you know, there's this flood of applicants because of all these boot camps and it's not fair to anyone. It's a challenge.
Yeah, it's really something. And one of the things that you make me think about when you mentioned that, I've had some conversations recently with hiring managers. The memory that stands out the most to me involves how people, the expectation about finding a job, and whether they go to a boot camp, whether they go to a MOOC, like the Google program, anything. People get a master's degree. Let me back up for a moment. Anybody remember the Occupational Outlook Handbook?
No.
It's a government predictability,
yeah,
where they,
yes,
every job type. There's a website dedicated to it, now, of course, now, too. We used to have to go through the books back in 1992. We were going through the books. We would go in, sit in school. The counselor would tell you to go through. What do you think you want to do? Well, go to the Occupation Outlook Handbook and look that position up, and it will let you know what the government determined the projections will be. How many people are in a position now? What are the going salaries now? What can you expect in the next 5 to 10 years? All of this stuff was in the Occupational Outlook Handbook. Well, a lot of people are coming up in professional ranks and they know nothing about this.
Yeah.
Because people will be able to shoot down and it doesn't matter whether it's a boot camp or even an institution of higher learning now. There was one institution of higher learning on the page where they were actually promoting their UX program. They were saying that you have to be a unicorn or you won't succeed. What, $200,000 program, and they're telling you things like that? People are getting involved in education. And I said this before in a talk I did with the conference for Debbie Leavitt. I talked about this, about some of the problems with UX education, is that we spend our entire life, the earlier parts of our lives, taking courses that other people pick for us. We spend our entire, you know, hey, Astrid, it's time to get up and go to school. Luke, get down here. Time to go to school. And off the school, Darren, get off the school you'd go, you would take the classes that they set up for you, you would do the work that they set before you, and it wasn't until later, maybe in high school, but definitely not until college, that you were making conscious, deliberate decisions about how to pursue your education. So I said that to always point this out. Now that you're an adult, not knowing that you've restarted, you started a new wing of your life, that you're actually a baby again. And so you don't know how to pick programs. And people pick programs like they're going and picking a bottle of ketchup at the grocery store. Okay, you got Heinz, you got Del Monte, what you got? You got the store brand, whatever. That's not what this is. You can't just go in and pick a bottle of ketchup. People are entering into, they're making educational decisions blindly. And the people who are marketing to them, the predators, are, whether it's a course on Udemy, a boot camp, or even an institution of higher learning, they're presenting something that is catching on, resonating with the potential applicant or enrollee based on a very, very immature mind frame.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people, they're not thinking about this. I signed up for a program. I had no idea what I was doing. You don't hear anybody saying it. You hear them saying it after the fact. You don't hear them saying it going in. And so this then becomes a problem. So people are signing up for stuff. You can become, I saw somebody said, you can learn everything you need to know about UX. No joke. In 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you ever seen that one, Lou? You can sign.
No, you can tell that I haven't seen that one. Yeah. Yeah, but I believe it. I believe it's out there. Yeah, that's a scary. It's
insane. So people have to really, there's a grain of salt that people need. They don't realize they're entering into Kool-Aid territory. That you shouldn't be signing up for these boot camps because, I mean, I went to the Wayback Machine to look at how they were marketing in 2011. So you can actually see it. It's in the Wayback Machine. And people who knew nothing about UX were offering UX courses and programs. So how do people who know nothing about UX sell you, offer you a program that they don't know how to design? So it started out with a good idea that was poorly executed. And it really hasn't changed that much. What Lou said is it's happening too. There are some good educators.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
These programs, and they make a difference. But if the vehicle that they're riding in has three round wheels and one square one, there's still only so far you're going to get.
Yep.
Yep.
That's basically what's happening. And some people don't like that. I mean, there are some institutions of higher learning that they are bowing to the boot camps. They think that they're in competition with the boot camps. There are some institutions of higher learning that do not allow. People who are really skilled subject matter experts are not teaching in the programs. There's a lot of cronyism and nepotism that's starting to really take over the program. So the people, you can have all the best intentions in the world, go into an educational program and still come out tainted, still come out having learned something you're going to need to unlearn. Because there is something that's happening in these programs that's just not good, and it's not going to help you. And then when people like me call it out, they get angry with me. It's not my fault you came out of the house with striped pants and a polka dot top. That's not my, you know, I'm trying to help you out. Y'all might want to go back home and change. Just maybe it might.
Yeah.
And so these are some of our challenges and having to write. I always talk about riding the ship. This ship needs to be righted with UX education. There are people not learning any fundamentals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are people, I think Lou mentioned it, the people going to, or I think it was Lou that mentioned this. People are going to, I had somebody actually refer to boot camps as portfolio firms.
Oh.
That's really all they are. It's when you get out, you're going to have a portfolio. Not when you go get out, you're going to have a nice, good, solid foundation of fundamentals. Yeah. That's the selling point. But when you tell people that, I mean, I've actually had people say, you don't need to know the fundamentals, you just need to know Figma. Hey, another Figma.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Another Figma.
I've heard that.
Crazy, isn't it? But that's what people are told. And that's not what's needed. That's not good. It's not accurate. And then people are, this trickles up to the C-suite because it impacts the perception of the discipline.
Exactly.
And if right. you can, and if you can learn how to do this in 6 weeks, it's got to be one of those anybody can do it things.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. They've done a huge, it, not they, it has done a huge disservice to all the work to try and show the value
right.
of design and UX.
Yeah, it's really sad. So these are some of the challenges with UX education, some of the things we need to overcome. Education is not going to go away. It's always going to be needed, but it needs to be better designed. It's not well designed on average. It's not well designed. There are people who take advantage of the, and I'm using this term, people, please don't take this the wrong way and don't take it personally, but there's a state, we were all there, where we were ignorant. There's something we didn't know. And if you, when you're in a state where you don't know, if you behave in a way as if you do, and you don't know what you don't know, then you're at risk. Again, there's risk mitigation again, something that you learn as you grow in the discipline. So when you don't know, and somebody tries to sell you on something and what they're selling you isn't good, you don't have the filter, as I say a lot. You don't have the filter. And so the chances of opting in to that, buying that, is very high. Now, if you're the vehicle for this thing about UX that's not accurate, you can now become a person who can detrimentally impact the discipline.
Because, without knowing it, yeah.
Yeah.
And without knowing it, yeah. Yeah.
No idea. So when we call these things out, it's not personal. I had somebody write me the other day, Darren, when you were talking about this on the podcast the other day, were you talking about me? Dude, we haven't talked in a year. How could I have been talking about you?
Right.
But I did have a conversation with somebody right before I started recording, and it was actually, it came out of that conversation. Somebody I knew who had become a hiring manager. And there were some things we talked about, and sometimes I give people blind shout outs. I can't say their name, but they know who they are. But no, I wasn't talking about you.
Well, I mean, even the concept of, like, I always still believe in the idea of co-ops, right?
Yeah.
Like, that yeah. might be a way to actually, like, learn things on the job. However, you can't really have co-ops if you don't have people with enough experience to be able to, you know, actually mentor right. on the job.
Yes. Ooh, there's a topic. Ooh, she's threw a flag out there. Yeah, because I'll throw this out there real quick. Mentoring is another predatory area, and everybody should have a mentor at their place of employment. There should be a mentor on every team, at least one, depending upon the size of the team. And as the team grows, the team gets larger, then you should have more mentors in house. People should not have to go to make an appointment with this person you don't know. And a lot of those folks that claim to be mentors, a lot of those services that are claiming to be mentoring services, they're not. Matter of fact, a lot of them, all they are is portfolio reviewers. They shouldn't even call themselves mentors. Someone said that
it's another area that's become predatory modified. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You pay, like, through the nose for something you should be getting for free. Frankly, I know a lot of people really going to get mad at me for saying that, but don't get mad at me for telling the truth. You know, the sky is blue. We need oxygen. You got to brush your teeth. You know, there are some things that are absolutes. And that's one of them. You should have a person at work. And if you don't, and sometimes you have to go outside because sometimes the teams are just too big or there's certain dynamics. Okay. And the way things are today, you reach outside. But then a lot of mentors aren't mentors. I knew about a person that they said a person was a mentor, but the person was actually doing their work.
Oh,
and they use the term mentor. Anyway, a mentor. Doing it work.
Not everyone's equipped to be a mentor, right?
They're not. Right. They're not. Yeah, we talked about that at length. Everybody is not equipped to be a mentor, and everybody's not in the frame of mind to be a mentee.
This is also
that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
It changes everything. Some people don't want to be told that they have a nail in their tire. Some people don't want to be told that their baby is ugly. Some people don't want to be told that their clothes don't match. Some people don't want to be told they have spinach in their tea. I mean, the metaphors just keep coming. And until somebody is willing to embrace critical thinking and constructive criticism, not destructive, but constructive criticism, that growth is not, it's going to elude them.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the, yet another throwing a flag. Just that not everyone can be a manager. Like, in fact, it's sad that when I meet someone who's a manager who really should be a manager, I'm always like, but you actually should be one. Like, I'm amazed that they actually did the right thing and made you a manager, because in this stage,
yep,
so rare. It's so rare that someone should actually be that role.
Yeah, ton of that going on. That's another topic I love.
Has been for so long.
Oh. Yes. Big problem. Huge. And then those people don't like hiring anybody. They feel like it's going to be a competition for them.
Exactly.
So that's, we could go on and on about that one too. Well, that's all the time that we have for today, folks. That is the end of our coverage of the topic, UX education. So thanks again to Lou Susi. Thanks again to Astrid Chow for taking the time to come on the show and share with the UX community at large. I did promise something, though, especially for those of you on video, and I will be brief because everybody's not watching the video, but I wanted to give a quick tour of the Kaizen Tees website. Now, many of you will see on video, I'm wearing a UX is not UI t-shirt. This is probably our number one seller right now, especially the oversized tees. I absolutely love these. This is hoodie season in a lot of places. It's getting chilly in a lot of places. Great time to pick up a hoodie. And I have found, I came up with this idea to something. Somebody told me once, they said, and I shared this on the show before, somebody said, Darren, a lot of things that you say, you should put these on t-shirts. If you put them on t-shirts, I'd buy them. Boom, here we are. And that's how Kaizen Tees was basically born, whether it's me talking about UX not being UI or some of the other things that we say that people really express a lot of gratitude for or find to be humorous, because it's great to inject some humor into some of the things that we're saying. I just started putting some of these things on t-shirts, whether it's UX is not UI, UX is not equal to sign UI, whether it's CX plus UX equals BX. There's just a lot of different things that we have said and done, and we put these on merchandise. And so we want to take some time right now to just walk you through the site really quick and just show you some of the stuff that we have for sale on KaizenTees.com. So here we are at the KaizenTees.com website. Folks, we've got t-shirts, we've got sweatshirts, we've got hoodies, we've got polos, we've got all types of accessories. And I know accessories to some folks might be bland. Check it out. We've got coffee mugs. We've got a UX is not UI teddy bear. We've got tote bags. We've got dental lunch boxes. We've got water bottles. We've got, again, coffee mugs or tumblers. We've got notebooks. We've got bucket hats. We've got caps. We've got just lunch bags. Things that you can just wear to help get the message out. Things that you can use to just get your work done, because some people love jotting things in notebooks. And in the not too distant future, you know that illustration I have with the four pillars of UX, the usability and heuristics, information architecture, UX research, and interaction and interface design? That illustration is in the process of being updated, and we're going to have a wall-ready version of that illustration. You want to put it up on your wall at home. You want to put it up in the office. Great conversation starter, great way to communicate to people about what UX really is. That will be available on the site in the not too distant future. We're also working on making it available. So folks in Europe, a lot of folks have asked me, Darren, when can I get this stuff in Europe? We're working on that. We're almost there, folks. Ask to be a little bit more patient with us, and we'll have that available for you in the not too distant future. But we want to take time to thank those of you who've been supporting us on KaizenTees.com with the effort. Kaizen Tees is directly tied to the podcast, and it's helping to support the podcast and what we do here to bring this important information, to bring these guests, to help set that North Star for people in the UX community. Thanks to those of you that support the podcast. Please make sure to give the show a like, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you're listening via your favorite podcast resource. Give us a like, give us a thumbs up. We appreciate it. Help us to get out of algorithm jail. We're in algorithm jail there. But thanks, everybody. That is all the time we have for today. We're going to go ahead and sign off now. Special thanks to those that are listening by way of video, taking the podcast in, I should say, by way of video. And until next time, though, this is Darren Hood, the host of The World of UX, signing off. Happy UXing, everybody.